Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Thanks for joining me. Welcome to another episode of the Truther Therapy Sessions. We're on episode 53. Today, I have a guest with me, George Hobbs. He is the host of the Fact Hunter podcast. Now, this gentleman kindly invited me onto his podcast maybe about 3 or 4 months ago now to share with him all about the clowns. And we had a great back and forth. It was really nice to catch up with him. And he has kindly obliged me and offered to, agreed to the offer to come on to talk with me on my podcast. So, George, how are we doing? Are you there?
Yeah, we're doing great. It's a beautiful day here in central Delaware. It was in the 60s Fahrenheit today, so just a beautiful day, and it's great to be here with you and your listeners, your subs, your subscribers, and again, thanks for offering me to come on your show. I really appreciate it.
Not at all, George, not at all. Now, this Truther Therapy Sessions, it's a bit different from your typical podcast. It's sure. Mainly an introspective conversation about people's journeys to discovering things like conspiracy theories and the truth, and basically how we deal with those things. So to start this off, you're quite a big name in the game. You have quite a popular podcast, but there may be some people in my audience who maybe haven't heard of you before.
Sure.
Did you want to start by just giving maybe a brief story of your journey, where you come from, and how you ended up being the host of a conspiracy-themed podcast? What got you there?
Yeah, sure. It's a very long journey, and there were a lot of seed plantings along the way, which are very important. There's a lot of folks in the truth community who say, oh, they're not ready for it. We shouldn't even bring the topic up. But that's something that I'll bring up later in the podcast, that anytime that there's an opportunity, no matter how you feel someone thinks about a particular subject, there's something to planting seeds in people's minds. So when they finally hear it enough, they may get up the courage or let their guard down just enough to look into things. So again, I'm George Hobbs, host of the Fact Hunter podcast. I was born and raised in Delaware, the same state where a guy named Joe Biden was a parasite of our state for 50 years before getting involved in federal politics, obviously at the highest levels. And just to put that out there as well, I'm very apolitical. I used to be a hardcore conservative Trump guy, and then a pretty big letdown. That was one of the things that led to the scales falling from my eyes, right? He ran on lock her up and everything else, build that wall. And then, you know, you come to realize that the left and right are very much the two wings of the same corrupt bird. But anyway, I was in a blue collar family, right? Just like most everyone else, lived my life in a very patriotic family. Every male member of my family served in the military going way back to the Civil War. So it wasn't a matter of like, if you were going to join the military, it was when you were. And 2 weeks after I graduated high school or so, I joined the Army. I was in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and I ended up making it a career for 24 years. But there were some things that really, in the course of that, of my military service, that really started me questioning official narratives. I remember I was stationed in Hawaii the day September 11th, 2001 happened. And watching the towers fall that day didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand how they fell straight down. But again, I didn't pursue that curiosity, right? Because I was in the Army and we were about to get very busy. But it was one of the first seeds that were really planted in my mind. And then before I left Iraq, I did 4 tours of Iraq. And before I left in March, which is hard to believe, this month is 20 years since I came home from my first tour of Iraq. I had a flag general make a kind of underhanded comment about the Bush family. And I was like, you know, at that time, Bush was a hero, right? He got revenge for 9/11. And I found it weird that why is this guy talking about who's Prescott Bush? Why is he so negative on the Bush family? Another seed planted in my mind. Well, as I continued in my deployments in Iraq, I started to wonder, well, gee, we didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. Why are we still here? And as I progressed through the ranks, I attained the rank of senior non-commissioned officer. In my later deployments, I was seeing contracts. I was in the contract portion of things while moving pieces around the battlefield as well. And some of the contracts I saw, I couldn't believe. I'm like, wait a second, we paid how much for this? And then all these things towards the end of my career, I kind of put blinders on. I'll admit I was a hypocrite because I was so close to my, getting that paycheck every month, my retirement check. And I did. But I will tell you that when I retired October of 2015, we're closing on 10 years ago, I put my uniform away and I broke out my investigation hat. And I did go into business for myself. I opened a retail store in a mall in Central Texas. And whenever I didn't have customers, I was reading Bill Cooper. I was listening to Bill Cooper and going through all these different conspiracies. And boy, I'll tell you, Paul, when I learned the truth about 9/11, it was a kick in the stomach because I had two very, very dear friends of mine who were killed, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, and all because of the 9/11 lie, and it is very much a lie. So that was very much a kick in the stomach to me. And then you start to learn other truths. Obviously, Kennedy, Oklahoma City, the Terrence Yakey story. And if you folks have never ever heard the official narrative of Terrence Yakey, the day of April 19th, 1995, in Oklahoma City, go to YouTube and put in Requiem for the Suicided. Terrence Yakey, and that was done by the one and only Mr. Corbett from the Corbett Report, and it's 34 minutes of life-changing information. And then you start to realize that everything is a lie. Everything is a lie. You learn that George Washington, our quote-unquote founding father, was more proud of being a Freemason than being the first president of the United States. That's why it says Freemason and President, Freemason first. And by the way, today is March 3rd, so it's Freemason Day, which there's your 33, wow. Which also, by the way, today they just announced within, I think, the last couple of hours that tomorrow the Supreme Court is going to rule on Trump's eligibility. So all the, you know, they're going to stir that part tomorrow. It should be an interesting week. But anyway, that's kind of my long story short.
Well, no, thanks for keeping it so succinct. That was there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, a military experience alone for so many years, you must have some serious stories to tell. Do you want to maybe share some of the defining moments of that career which really made you question a few things? Some of the seeds you want to share with us?
Well, the big one obviously was having a flag officer tell you the truth about the president of the United States, which, 10 years later, I'd go down the rabbit hole and find that I'd learn about Skull and Bones, the Prescott Bush, George W. Bush's grandfather. He was in Skull and Bones. And of course, George H.W. Bush, the one they called Poppy, one of the most evil men of the 20th century. If you ask Joe Normie on the street, who was the most evil man of the 20th century, I'd probably venture to say that 90 out of 100 would say Hitler. When the truth of the fact, when you really go back and look at history, George H.W. Bush, super evil, evil man, had his hands in everything from Kennedy all the way through 9/11. And then, of course, the other good guy, right, Stalin, he killed 50 million people. But the thing that you really is difficult when you get into the truth business and you go back at the historical things, it's really hard to find the truth when everything is based on a lie. For example, here in the United States, I think over in your neck of the woods, Pearson provides most of your textbooks for high school and college, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, it's a company called McGraw-Hill. And there have been two very evil people who have owned that company since the 80s. So again, we send our children off to school to be indoctrinated. In the 80s, I'm pretty sure you're familiar who Ghislaine Maxwell is, right?
No, fill me in, enlighten me. Sorry, my ignorance is showing through here, but go ahead.
No, I didn't mean it that way. Ghislaine Maxwell, she was Jeffrey Epstein's sidekick.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, that's clicked. There we go, yeah, carry on.
Yep. Her father was Mossad and owned a publishing company, and the subsidiary was McGraw-Hill Books. So you have, you have Israel and their agents owning and operating Americans' textbooks. And then you fast forward 20 years later, a guy named Leon Black, who owned Apollo Management, his company, Apollo Management, owned McGraw-Hill textbooks for a decade at least. And then it turns out 3 years ago that, or maybe four, I don't know, but he gave Jeffrey Epstein $135 million for what they say tax advice, and he had to step down from the board. So one of the things, the common themes in my podcast, and I'm sorry I deviated away from the question, I'll jump into that.
No, it's fine.
I'm very passionate about education. We homeschool. We're off the grid. We're away from society. We're on well water. We have septic. We raise chickens. We raise our own food. I mean, we realized. So I bring guests on too and do what we're doing today. We kind of the journey to the truth. And it's interesting how there's a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. But I will tell you that one of the similarities in people's journey to the truth was COVID. And I think they overplayed their hand with COVID. And a lot of people saw it, and a lot of people did what we did. They got out of town. They got homesteads, and are understanding that what we saw in 2020 is probably pale in comparison to what we're going to see. It could be as soon as this year. It could be in 10 years. Nobody really knows. But back in 2020, there was a great food shortage. And I told people, there's no food shortage. There's a grocery store shortage. So the more you rely on the grocery store and things of that nature, the more susceptible you're going to need the government to bail you out the next time we have an emergency. Mm. And that's what everything through history has been about. They bring upon an emergency and they want you to give up your rights. You know, just like Franklin said, you give up a little bit of your freedom for a little bit of security.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
That's the deal. And that's what we saw on 9/11, right? 9/11 happens, and within a couple days, or maybe I forget how long it was, certainly within weeks, they had this huge document called the Patriot Act just ready to go. And everybody was like, whatever, just don't ever let us happen, you know, let this happen again. And then you actually sit down and read the Patriot Act, and you see that the government grew by something like 15%. And by the way, I think 2 weeks ago I had mentioned on my podcast, it is the reason people won't stand up to the government is because we have so many people dependent on the government. We have over 20 million people in this country that work for the government. And then so many times since 2020, we see, and again, this isn't a broad stroke against the police. There's plenty of tremendous police officers out there. But what you hear, that I'm just doing my job thing in cases where their internal moral compass has to be 180 degrees away from what they're actually doing. So at some point, if we're going to make a difference in the world, you have to follow your moral compass, no matter the circumstances, personally. Like as far as business, work, those type of things, right? Because people will get on social media and complain, but when it comes down to their job, or, you know, there's a ton of people who believe that the election of 2020 was hijacked, yet they'll file their taxes every year. So you're telling me that you're paying money to a fraudulent government. Like, that really goes to show that people have limits to in 2024, in this day and age, as to what they'll stand up to. And when the news came out today about the Supreme Court ruling tomorrow, I heard all these people say, oh, if they rule against Trump, there's going to be a civil war. No, there will not. No, because you'll be at work and you got to go to work the next day. So I laugh at that stuff. Sorry about that. Go ahead. I didn't mean to go on that.
No, that was great. I mean, there's a lot of things you touched on there. And yes, in terms of like getting meta about the truth of culture, there has been a huge influx of new people who have opened their eyes, let's use that phrase, or woken up due to the glorified flu. That event, seriously, that like I said, I think they definitely well overplayed their hand on that one. And I was working in retail through that as a manager of a supermarket, so I saw I saw the insanity through and through. I wasn't even on YouTube at that point. I had to shut the channel down in 2018 because I was being a little bit too controversial, and my bosses found it and threatened to demote me. Yeah, they threatened to demote me and said basically, you cannot be a manager and have this YouTube channel. And again, I was I capitulated. It was not a proud moment, I'm not gonna lie, but I quit that place at the start of last year and booted up the channel again and started my own company, became self-reliant, you know.
Good for you.
And I'm free from that kind of tyranny. But during that time, you know, I was in the thick of it.
Sure.
All the mandates, you know, trying to control people, forcing them to wear masks. And me, obviously, it's kind of, I was torn. It's kind of like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to tell people to put these stupid things on that don't work. But at the same time, it's if you don't do it, you lose your job type of situation.
That's right.
It was ridiculous, you know, and it's kind of like they were, without paying me, they were trying to make me some kind of enforcer or bouncer of a sort, you know, some kind of it's kind of like, this isn't in my contract. How are they illegally making me do these things? This is well beyond my pay grade, you know, and the people went insane. The level of insanity that I saw during those 2 years, particularly the height of it all from 2019 to 2021, you know, was just ridiculous. It changed me having to work and deal with that on a daily basis. I lost my grandfather during that time. He got put on a ventilator and died as well. He went into hospital with something else, then died of died of it, apparently. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how it always goes, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And yeah, but as a result, you know, I have this Telegram group, and I have about 850 members in there, give or take. And I have this opening question: when you join, tell me what your point was. What was the thing that got you into this? What woke you up?
Right.
And yes, that event is, I would say, 50 to 55% of the messages I get. It was around that time period. So there's been a huge influx of people who are now just questioning everything, and rightly so. I mean, just pulling it back, I mean, it's kind of a question I want to start asking people who I invite on here, but in light of everything that is going on and what has happened, where do you see maybe the next 5 years going? Do you have like a forecast or an idea?
So that's interesting, because you know, that is something I ask people to. and it's funny, because every time I think I'm onto them, sometimes they float small stories out there that I gravitate to and I investigate. And there was a story last week about, and this is, I am answering your question, actually, like as far as Russia, Ukraine, there's a small country called Transnistria, which is like literally right on the Ukrainian border and just down the road from, I don't remember if it was Poland or Romania, one of those two countries, but it has the, like one of the largest ammo depots in Europe. Like going back to the old USSR. And they said if that place went up, it would the explosion would be the equivalent of Hiroshima. So I thought, what a tremendous chance to pull a false flag. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Yeah, go.
Oh, okay. There it goes. But yeah, what a tremendous false flag that would be if they could set that place off and they could even pass it off as a nuke, because the explosion, as the story said, would basically simulate or mock an explosion like we saw in Hiroshima. So that is something to keep your eye on. Obviously, it's an election year. I think Trump is part of the club. I honestly do. So yeah. I think that the Biden-Trump thing is to divide and conquer. As long as the people are fighting amongst themselves, they're going to keep their focus off the controllers, which are the real problems, right? The bankers, the pharmaceutical companies, the military-industrial complex. I'm afraid that... I don't know if it's going to be this year or coming year. There is going to be a world war type of thing coming. And I think the drawdown of the military is intentional so they can bring back the draft. If you saw in the news last week, the United States Army lost 24,000 troops, which is the equivalent of 5 brigades. That's a whole lot. So if things do kick off, they would reinstate the draft immediately. And if you go here in the United States, we have something called the Selective Service, where when you turn 18, you have to go online and register. Back in my day, you had to walk down to the post office and register on a little postcard to be part of the draft. So I do that. I do see that coming, because you know what happens when you get drafted in the military? You know what the first thing they do when you go to the military?
Enlighten me.
You get all your vaccinations.
Oh, of course. Naturally. Yeah.
You get all your vaccinations. So that's going to check that box. And everything that these people do, these maniacs do, are it's about population control. And that is actually like a twofold phrase. They want, if you remember the old Georgia Guidestones, the first rule was keeping the world global population at 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. That was pretty much what it read.
Yeah.
And according to, you know, them, there's about an $8 billion person population in the world. So you do the math, at 7.5 billion more people than they would like. What's a great way to do that? Well, and by the way, I forgot we're on YouTube. I'll be very careful with that word. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. I don't do YouTube much. You know, getting the Fauci ouchie or whatever you want to call it, it certainly plays into that. But also controlling the population. And through wartime, they play the patriotic card, and that's what they do. So I do see a war coming. It could start as soon as next week. It could start in a year or two. But the biggest thing that I am worried about is they have been artificially holding up the American economy for years now. And there is going to be an epic collapse in order to bring in the one world society, to bring in the CBDC, right? The central bank digital coin. And that is going to bring in at some point your social credit score, which has been going on in China for some time now.
Yeah.
You see people who post things on social media, they go to get on the subway, it gets declined. They got to go home and delete their post. And you laugh. That sort of thing happened in Australia in 2020. People would put on Facebook saying, hey, we're having a little get together and we're going to march outside of this local politician's area, right? And the cops would show up and they would get dragged. I saw a pregnant woman get dragged off to jail for posting stuff about, you know, she'd posted stuff about the government. This is the world we live in. We're not a free society anymore. I don't care if you're American, UK, Australian. We are all a slave to society to some point. I think just some of us are more free than others. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I see what we see in China. China seems to be about maybe 12 to 10 years just behind where we're going to end up, or ahead of where we're about to end up, it seems. I mean, I was seeing images the other day of children. We're talking kids here, not even just teenagers, with things that look like guns, but they have the phone attached to the side of it. And they were basically shooting at each other in proper tactical war type scenarios in the urban streets. But it was a game they were playing on the phones. And it's kind of, if that isn't like training children to become soldiers subliminally, I don't know what is, you know, but the type of tech those people are playing with, it does seem like what you see there will end up here eventually. So I am inclined to believe that, yes, we are going to see the introduction of some kind of scoring system. We already have credit scores, don't forget. And you already can't.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You can't get a mortgage or a loan from the bank if you have a poor credit score or a poor history with handling money. And even then, they're quite arbitrary with what they define as good or bad behavior when it comes to money. So they can always just reject you on a whim if they feel like they don't want to give you anything. So we're kind of already used to that. Again, in terms of the dissolution of paper money, we've seen that already well in action. And the people are already well conditioned to use their phones to pay now. It's not even cards anymore. Cards are out the window. And even before then, obviously, it was cash. And it's kind of... cash used to be king, but even then it was a fiat corrupt currency anyway, which was worthless to begin with, backed by nothing of any substance. So it was never really much to begin with. So it was always one illusion after another, wasn't it? But you can see the slow march towards a cashless society, and maybe everything onto a chip implanted into your hand or something akin to that. Having your phone in your hand all the time is already not a far cry from having a chip implanted into your hand anyway. So it's going to be the logical next step. Yeah, the introduction of some kind of credit system, ultimate control of information. We're seeing with the rise of AI mixed in with all of this as well. I'm seeing some scary stuff predicted for that now. I mean, someone was showing me earlier that because of AI, the creative arts industries are doomed. And I mean that in a very literal sense. Like, let's look at Hollywood, for example. To build a particular set, let's say, in a movie, or a landscape with buildings for a movie, you would require a very large team to build a set in order to perform or to have the actors perform on. But now you can literally put 10 words into a prompt and the video will be created that looks as real as anything you could imagine. And you no longer need an entire crew or team to build anything anymore. And now that doesn't sound like much on the surface, but that equates to, in the industry, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of jobs just gone. Just erased overnight just by the advent of this development of this technology, you know. And it's, I don't think there's really any facet of industry that isn't going to be affected by the advancements of this particular technology. And I think they're slowly creeping it up, aren't they? And they're trying to lower the amount of days you work in a week. Let's do a 4-day work week, and then it'll be a 3-day work week, and then it'll be a 1-day work week, and then they'll replace it with some kind of universal income of some kind of, you know, government-based, government-dependent income, that so you can spend it on their approved drugs and alcohol and whatever it is, and entertainment, you know? And... again, to do all of this, I do think there will have to be an extremely large culling of the population through some kind of means, as you were talking about at the start there, to do with this 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature, you know, from the Georgia Guidestones. Yeah. And in true Freemasonic ritualistic fashion, they have destroyed the monuments that had that on it to announce the beginning of its fruition, you know. And how they're going to do that, I mean, you said it yourself, what, 7.5, maybe 8 billion people? How are they going to remove those people, you know? And your guess is as good as mine. We can only speculate, but war is one way to do that. But I don't think it's an efficient way to do it as much as we think it would be. I think it would be a long, drawn out, perhaps very expensive or unnecessary way of doing it. I think they can do it more through subversive means. Now, this is my concept, that they could probably do it by... encouraging people not to have as many children. It's one very basic way of doing it, and yet we already see that. And you can do that through the collapse of gender roles, and also the collapse or the attacking of the nuclear family and marriage and all of the things that would mean that people go longer before settling down or perhaps missing their chance to have children as well. And also you do it through economic collapse, making people make it not feasible to have children. We do see that happening, especially in the Western Hemisphere, though from what I've actually seen, collapsing birth rates are a problem everywhere. It's not specifically a Western problem. So maybe something else is going on as well. So I can see maybe through more subversive means, perhaps they would be able to lower the population doing that. I think most people in the day to day are not going to notice it happening. I think that's how it's going to happen. They're going to be so busy and embroiled in paying the bills and living their own life and dealing with their own dramas that they're not going to notice that it's getting quieter and quieter around them. And the houses are getting emptier and emptier and the shops are all shutting down type of situation. It's kind of, as long as you have the bread and circus or the phone in the hand with the 30-second snippets or sound bites or TikToks, people generally will not notice the collapse around them. So I don't think it has That's to be right. as dramatic, but I've heard it also people say, and this is probably very dangerous to even say, but perhaps what we've seen recently with the rolling out of foreign fluids being inserted into individuals' bodies by their own choice through fear and coercion. Is that a good way of saying it? I don't know. But we don't know the long-term effects yet of what they've done to these 98% of most populations. Now, isn't that just funny? You know, in Britain alone, at least 93% of the UK population has had at least one dose. It's about 68% who have had more than three. Now, wow. if you want to remove... You know, how many people? 8.5 billion people, and leave maybe 10% left. The numbers match up. So let's see. Let's see how that pans out over time. I mean, I've taken nothing. I refused from the beginning. And the worst I got was a bit of social ostracization and some people arguing with me. And that's all they could do. I implore anybody who has taken it to... do some heavy metal detoxing as quickly as possible, if that even will help, but I don't know. So there you go. That's my forecast, kind of agreeing with you. We're going to see it's going to be slow progressing. It's not going to be some big impactful thing, I don't think. I think it's going to be more the water getting hotter and hotter around us. It's going to be one of those situations.
You're boiling the frog, right?
Oh, absolutely. You're a podcaster, you know, so I like talking with podcasters because you talk to hundreds of people with different wild theories and ideas. I mean, you had me on talking about clowns, for God's sake. I mean, like, the amount of people you must talk to and the amount of information you must have picked up along the way, you must have a particular theory or topic that you're just itching to dig deeper into yourself or get out there and let people know. I mean, is there something you've heard recently from your guests that has really got you thinking?
It's something every single day. And I keep this pile of notes every time I come across something, because there's just not enough time in the day. What we're working on right now, which is actually going to drop this Tuesday, is a closer look at the founding father's story versus, was it really, throwing, for lack of a better words, overthrowing the folks. So how the story goes, of course, there was the Reformation in the 1500s. Hmm. The Geneva Bible lasted 1560 to 1604. Then the King James Version came about. Then there was still some people, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, who thought it didn't go far enough. And those folks came over here for their religious freedoms. And I think somewhere along the line between that and 1776, I think most people in the colonies in the early times took all their laws from God. If you go back and you read the stories of those folks, the original folks who came to the United States during from, you know, the 1600s and 1700s, they were based on religious values. And by the way, just as a side note, the reason our country is so screwed up is because we have no moral compass. When I was a very young man, you know, young boy, I should say, in second, third grade, when we went to schools in our own community, God was very much part of our education. And then the Department of Education hijacked education in 1979 and has ever since led it to where it is today. But I think it was a very cleverly planned boiling the frog of, it was a transfer of God-given rights to man-given rights. Now, here in this country, obviously, Washington and those, you know, the 56 guys who signed the document were looked upon as heroes. But when you look a little closer, and for me, the springboard was when you really deep dive into President Reagan, because for conservatives, you ask 95% of people on the right who's the greatest president ever, well, it's Ronald Reagan. And then you find out he's the reason 2020 was able to happen. And among other things, he created the prison industrial complex here in the United States, destroyed cities. Back in the 60s, when he was governor of California, he was calling for guns to be taken away. When you learn the truth about, and then back to Lincoln, the truth about that guy, then you're like, well, it could have just started in the 1860s. Then you go back and realize all of this is just a subversive hijacking. Your freedoms come from this document, the Constitution. No. Our rights come from God. And that everybody should understand that. Our privileges, your driving privileges and things of that nature, come from government. But for all the folks out there who follow Jesus Christ, right? If man's law crosses God's law, you have a moral you have an obligation as a follower of Jesus Christ to say no to that. But we don't do a very good job. And I say we, myself included, right? There's been a lot of times we saw in 2020, churches were closed. Oh my goodness. Like that was such another, you know, I hate to keep going back to that, but my goodness, we closed our churches. You know, people died, you know, for supposedly, right? That's what I believed, dying for this country, for our Bill of Rights. And that is a direct violation. If you close your church, just because you're afraid somebody's going to get sick, then you probably need a new pastor. And I really champion the people who did stand tall. Like, I think his name was Pastor Pulowski in Canada. Just amazing for him to stand against tyranny. Those people were heroes to me. Every 6 months on the podcast, we play something called The Voices of COVID. I go back to, darn it, I didn't mean to say that word. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry.
I go back and I record all this audio from the governors talking about getting free joints and a free hamburger and a shake and all the things that they were trying to convince people to take the experimental medication. It's just all ludicrous, and the voices of people's churches being closed, and just it was bizarro world for a couple.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Years. The President Biden told us in November 2021 that if you didn't get the juice, that you were going to die. He said it was going to be a winter of death. And these are the people that supposedly are elected to represent us. And again, this goes full circle back to this year. People are saying if we just vote harder, things will change. And that's just not the case. Something that we talk about on the podcast a lot is accountability. And until there is accountability with the people who transgress against our basic rights, these things will continue to happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't think many people realize that they actually have any rights or care to defend them anymore.
I agree, and I
think maybe it's a generational thing, and obviously an education, a re-educational thing throughout the control of education. But most people don't understand that the government actually doesn't have the right to do many of the things they claim they have the right to do. That's a power we give to them, not a power they actually have just by virtue of existing. And And again, it's tough because I as much as I empathize and agree with you and everything you're saying, I struggle to see how it's going to change for the better.
Oh, I agree. 100% agree. Like I said earlier, I got to go to work tomorrow. Otherwise, I'd love to protest with you, right?
Well, yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah, unfortunately, at some point, if we are going to make change, people are going to have to. And when I say this, I'm not saying it in a way where I'm calling for violence. I'm just saying making a difference sometimes means saying things you're not comfortable with saying, which means being, if you're a truth seeker, speaking your convictions in front of people that you more normally may not. You don't know. You could have family members who think the same way as you, but because maybe sometimes we're shy as truth seekers to bring these types of things up. We may be missing out on a local connection. We know that as truth seekers, like me, I don't have a lot of people locally where I can sit down and have a conversation about the Georgia Guidestones. Hey, man, did you know on March 22nd, 322, Skull and Bones, Georgia Guidestones open? And on July 6th, which is George Bush's birthday, you know, they blew him up. Like all these little rabbit holes just to add up, you know, it's just, you know, having the conviction to talk about these things in front of people we normally wouldn't, we just have to do something. If not for ourselves, I always say for our children, for our grandchildren, because we can't keep kicking this down the road because the ball keeps getting bigger. And whenever the bubble does burst, whoever's in the line of fire at that time is going to struggle very. It's going to have an immense struggle.
I suppose peaceful non-compliance is kind of our last hope because they're just waiting for somebody to get violent about this. And as soon as so go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you can't win against the matrix that they have built. The only thing you can do is walk away from it and start building local connections. The problem is that the power pyramid. Let's try that again. The power pyramid is upside down. The power pyramid should be your structure. Local government should have the most say in your life, and the federal government should just be that tiny tip at the top. That's if you believe the founder's story, that's how it was meant to be. The 10th Amendment was, you know, holy. You know, the states and your local governance is the most important. Well, it's flipped upside down. Just last week, Texas is trying to guard its border. Our Supreme Court said, no, you don't have the right to defend it and let those people through. It's just, we live in bizarro world. So, and you can't beat it. So you have to walk away and find like-minded people in your community and build from there.
Yeah, in many ways as well. I see it, obviously things you're alluding to about border control issues and the influx of immigrants and all these type of things. I mean, we have the exact same issues in Europe and in Britain as well. You know, and I can't help but feel a lot of that as well is kind of, it's them prodding us. They're purposely trying to rile us up to get us to react so they can offer the solutions or suppress due to accusing the reaction as violence or over the top or something like that, you know. And this is why I try not to give into any of the bait and just all I just talk about is, or get people to talk about, is the facts of the corruption that they're actually a part of. So like you said, these people are members of secret societies. We can go and find that out quite easily, actually. I mean, if you look into the history, especially of America, pretty much all American presidents, including British prime ministers as well, and Canadian prime ministers, were all members of Freemasonry and the Odd Fellows, and then including the Shriners afterwards. And you've got to wonder, you know, I think that's all we can actually do is talk about these problems. And because in the past, when I first started, you know, in 2012, and even obviously prior to that, after 9/11, to discuss or question such things, you were ridiculed with the title of conspiracy theorist, like it's some kind of racial slur of some kind. Like to be called a conspiracy theorist is dirty. But I took the attitude, no, I'm reclaiming that phraseology. Yes, I am a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. So let's go out there and keep talking about it. And now more people than ever are like you said, very much clued in. And can see, yo, the conspiracy theorists were right. All this stuff is true. So I do have hope. And I think the more people who can know about the maybe just the basic corruptions. You don't have to get into all the esoteric stuff, you know, but if you can just figure out the basic stuff about corrupt governments, corrupt banking systems, corrupt medical systems, corrupt education institutions, corrupt media, all the basic stuff you first get into when you wake up, then most people, when presented with nonsense, can then do the peaceful non-compliance, and perhaps that can start to see progressive changes for the next generation. I think in a way, the internet's backfired on them a little bit. The freedom of information has kind of made it difficult for them to control people's minds as much, especially younger generations, because they I don't think we can fool them as easy, perhaps. I don't think they even follow legacy media in any way, shape or form. They're not as brainwashed by the box in the corner of the room because they control what they choose to see. And don't get me wrong, they're attempting to co-opt the entire thing now, and they're putting the mouthpieces into that arena, and they're trying to control it. But I think in true meme fashion, the younger generation just think it's cringe and ignore it. And they're not interested. So maybe there's hope.
Absolutely.
Maybe there's hope. Who knows? I mean, there's something you touched on earlier there, talking about talk to your family members. You might discover that you have family members who don't even know about these things. And I think that's something I like to talk about myself, and I think maybe we can get into here. But how, when you woke up, did you go through the similar process a lot of people do, and myself included, and many of our listeners probably also went through this process of basically going a bit crazy and overboard, trying to wake everybody up out of love and fear for what you've just discovered? And did you get much pushback or reactions from loved ones? And how, in a way, did it impact your relationships with family members and loved ones when you first started to talk about these things? Did you have much of that issue, or were you solidly in a everybody around you is cool and you get it sort of situation?
It's actually a mixture of both. When I first really started to wake up, I basically kept it focused on myself because I wanted to be well-versed on everything before I started talking to other people out of it. So I would say for probably 2 years, it was just study, consume information for 2 years. And then I started floating things to people. And then one of my best friends in the world, a guy who I spent a lot of time with downrange in Iraq. I mean, he was offended by it, and it actually ended up hurting our relationship. But at the end of the day, I said, if you can't handle, my thoughts, then are you even really my friend? What's going on here? But there are some people, and I'm not sure why it affects them so much, certain subjects. I can see, like, he was military, and 9/11 obviously was the whole gist of us being over there. But at the end of the day, to me, there's the truth and there's everything else. If something happened to one of my loved ones, I'd want to get to the bottom of whatever the cause of that was. By the way, I should add, back in September, I interviewed a guy whose father was a fireman who died on 9/11. He was, I think, on the 44th floor when the building collapsed. And he got a call, I think in 2019, from one of his dad's friends who was a firefighter as well. And because at this point, it's been 18 years. And he said, hey, have you ever looked into this? And it was amazing, because we talk about these rabbit holes all the time. But to actually have somebody who was personally affected, and in some way, I mean, we're all affected by that day, but to have someone who lost a loved one that day, who realized that, yeah, this whole thing was a lie, and I would like to get to the bottom of who was responsible for this, was, I don't want to say, I'm trying to use the proper terminology here, because when we talk about these things all the time, I always try to be cognizant of there was real people in this world who are affected by these things, whether it's Oklahoma City, Waco, 9/11, there's real people who died in these events. So I always try, you never know who's going to come across your work. So I don't ever want people to think it's just a cool rabbit hole we're investigating.
No.
But to hear someone who was personally affected understand that, yes, this was a lie, was, just for a lack of better words, was a little refreshing to understand that people who were even affected are willing to look for the truth. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal, because some people on the bigger rabbit holes like that, they just will go with the official story, because here in America, at least, the patriotic narrative runs very deep. And it's not that I don't love my country. I love the people of this country. It's just that it's been hijacked by maniacs, by Freemasons, by Jesuits, by insert here. At the end of the day, you can point out individual groups. I tend to agree with what Bill Cooper said. These people are Luciferians. Mm-hmm. They're all, they don't, like our dollar bill says, one nation under God, but they don't specifically say which God they serve. No. And if you look very closely on your $1 bill, there's a tiny little owl up by that one, and that has some very deep occult meanings to it. Mm-hmm. But I have floated it, and I mean, now, you know, my podcast is gotten a little bigger, and most, you know, all my family knows. And for the most part, I have two sisters. They listen to the podcast. They're pretty much on board, although back, I'll just say in 2020, they weren't as much. But I think even for them, they understand.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Stand now that, wow, everything is really a lie. So I think there is a payoff to, even at the time when you bring this up, you may get eschewed, might get the eye roll and things like that. But 99 times out of 100, it turns out we're correct. They say, what's the difference between the conspiracy theory and a truth? It's about 6 weeks these days. So it's okay to stand tall in your convictions. We're not the first person in history to stand up and explain our belief system and to be ridiculed. It's gone on throughout history. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, just touching a few things you said there. So you're talking about, you know, you talked to somebody who was directly related to a death involving 9/11, yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. you're saying even the people directly involved who have a by one degree connection to the deaths of that day, you know, my father died there, even they're questioning the narrative and discovering the truth. Because when you do lose a loved one, you know, you have an inquest, legally speaking, to get to the bottom of what actually happened, which has to go through court, especially if somebody dies in a mysterious way, if it's not explainable. And that is for the loved ones to get closure, so they know exactly what happened, so they aren't left with any questions, so they can move on, right? And that day left many questions, and I can't even imagine the pain and suffering so many of the people who lost people that day have had to deal with. And this is the irony. Those who go along with the mainstream narrative on that event, one of their go-tos is, it's offensive for you to even have these conspiracy theories. Think of the people who died that day and their loved ones, and you're making up these tall tales about that day. And when we all know what happened that day, you just let the dead sleep type of attitude, isn't it? You know what I mean? Let the people move on and heal from this. But then the irony of those people saying that, thinking they're so virtuous, is that the people who actually are affected by this are saying, no, I want to know the truth. Like, they're not even on their side. So these people think they're defending the poor victims of that day, but really all they're doing is making them more angry. So it's a pointless self-righteousness to that kind of attitude. It's just utterly false from start to finish. And it's not really for the victims, is it? It's for them to feel special or secure in some way that the government knows what they're doing or something like that. I don't know. So I just thought that was interesting. And you have to send me the link to that conversation, because I'd like to listen to that, to be honest.
I certainly will. We still stay in touch. He lives in North Carolina now, and it was really, I was glad to hear. It's almost it almost validates your efforts, because you're afraid the last thing you want to do is someone who's been affected like that. You don't want to hurt their feelings ever, you know, more. But at the same time, when you hear somebody say that, I understand that there's something awry here. And we always say, if we were to stand out in front of a Walmart and ask 100 people how many buildings fell in New York City on September 11th, 99 people would say two. That's how little informed the people of this country are. They don't know the beginning of the depths of that day. Mm-hmm. And actually, it goes back before that. It goes back to PNAC. It goes to September 10th with the $2.3 trillion. It goes back to June 2001 with Larry Silverstein taking. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. If you have one or two anomalies, you can call that a coincidence. But after that, it is something much deeper. And it was extremely deep. I think it was a ritual.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was obviously a gateway to war, to take away our rights, to bring in a bigger government. It was just so many facets to it. And again, how little, you know, here we're more worried about the game tonight than we are what's really going on in the world. And that's kind of disappointing. But I mean, I was that guy too 10 years ago, but hopefully, you know, after what we saw 4 years ago, people are waking up, but I'm not sure if they're waking up fast enough.
Well, if the population's dropping but more people are waking up, then hopefully our numbers should increase by proportions to the population.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But again, that's a double-edged sword. That's a sad news, but good news at the same time. Who knows? I mean, it might get to the point where it's like a true communist type regime where we know they're lying, they know they're lying, they know we know they're lying, and we know they know that we know they're that they're lying, yet they continue to lie. It's going to be one of those situations where we know. I think it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn who wrote about that when he was in prison in the communist Russia. Right. And it's kind of this joke that everybody knows it's a lie, but they just go along with it anyway. Even, you know, and even the leaders know, the people know we're lying to them, but we'll lie to them anyway because it's just easier to conform to the lie than to stand up and go push back against it in any way, because the consequences is usually very, very, very severe. But I don't know. I don't know. I think, like I said, I think things are changing a little bit. I think it's got a little bit more out of their hands. I think information is like sand through the fingers for these people. You can't hold on to it without it just pouring everywhere, you know. And I think that they're struggling to keep a lid on things, which is, again, worrying. An animal backed into a corner is a very dangerous thing. So who knows what's coming next? They keep talking about the Great Reset, don't they? I hear this word quite a lot, whatever that means, you know, in a very true esoteric, spooky sense. One another thing, which I think, I don't know if you've heard about this, but maybe just getting a bit weird with this one, getting a bit really conspiratorial, but 2025 is around the corner. And I do believe Helena Blavatsky wrote in her theosophical book, by the way, she's the one who came up with a magazine called Lucifer, so she's a true Luciferian in the truest sense. Yep. You know, and I think it was Alice Bailey, her student, who came up with Lucifer, the magazine, which then later became the Lucis Trust, which has a lot of ties within government and other things as well. But they were talking about the world teacher coming onto the stage over 100 years ago in 2025, you know, it's coming to bring the world together under like a one world religion, and he was going to appear in a year's time. So there's some kind of weird religious aspect to whatever these guys are up to. And I do think they're going to present us with New Age Jesus very soon, an Antichrist in a truer sense, you know. And would you have any thoughts on that? Have you heard anyone discussing these concepts before? Do you have anything you want to share?
Yeah, that is always a great debate on social media. A lot of Donnie Darkened, I think on Twitter, he's 100% behind Trump being the Antichrist. And then Alice Bailey, I think, is the one that said the cosmic Christ would be coming next year or after year 2025.
Yeah,
that is, you know, in concordance with Project Bluebeam, right? They've been floating all this space stuff lately and videos from Ukraine showing UFOs. There's a lot of stuff in the works, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit for them to float something like that. You've really got to be aware in this day and age, because you're right. They don't care anymore. They mock us at this point, right? This agreement, we're going to do whatever we want. It used to be they did it low profile. They used to hide their evil, but certainly since 9/11 and most certainly post 2020, it's all mockery now. Like, we have our White House speaker, press secretary. She'll give reports of how much smarter Joe is than her. It's just like, what? This guy doesn't. It's actually sad to see what they're doing. I mean, this guy barely doesn't even know what day it is. And this guy is supposed to be the most powerful person in the world. Are you kidding me? He can barely walk. So the mockery is certainly out there. It wouldn't surprise me, especially with the election coming in this year, if they start to float the new hero, because the thing with the Antichrist, he's supposed to be loved by all. So it would have to be something out of left field. And again, every time I think we're onto something, they throw a curveball. They're always two steps ahead of us. So, but it wouldn't surprise me. 2025 was also, if you remember, the Deagle report said that by 2025, the American population would be down to like 50 million, which is, you know, 20% of what it is today. Now, they ended up taking that off because it started making rounds in the truth community. I think about a year ago, they took that off. But a lot of arrows pointing to next year.
Yeah, funnily enough, I was actually just talking about the Deagle report in a Telegram group chat. It was just late at night. I was just talking to a couple of members on there, and they were showing me these stats and statistics. It's shocking just how low they want that population in just a year's time. And I was theorizing, like, so how could they make such a significant drop in such a short amount? They're running out of time, like, massively, if these are the projections they were truly aiming for. And again, I've got to pull back to the only way they could pull this off right now is the numbers match the amount of people who've taken that thing into their body, you know. And we're waiting for the next one, aren't we? They've already got a committee put together, or some kind of laws have been passed to prepare for the next one or something like that, just very recently. I can't remember what it's called. But I'm pretty sure some treaties have been signed to deal with the next coming event. And could it just simply be they're going to claim it's a new strain of something, but it's just people dropping dead from the original cure, you know? And they're going to play it out as though it's some kind of unstoppable plague, but really it was a mass culling event of sorts, genocide in its finest. I don't know. I don't like getting this dark. I don't like to say such things. I'm not trying to scare people because I don't know. Like I said, most times anyone makes a prediction, things go wrong, and it's usually way out of left field. But you have to wonder, you know, time is short for these people, I think. I think they know people are clocking on now, and as much as the hierarchy has been externalized, that comes with a war in order to lead people to the light of Lucifer. That's the point of the externalization of the hierarchy.
That's right.
It's to reveal the evil people, so people rebel and revolt, and then they'll win the rebellion against the evil people, and then disillusioned and looking for answers, they'll turn to the solution, which is, let's call them aliens, or perhaps fallen angel. Let's call it Lucifer, you know, but it'll be called something. They'll be called something else will turn up, you know, and maybe just spitballing here, just from the years of like narrative spinning and predictive programming, something like this. Everyone realizes we're being controlled by evil Satanists. Everyone rises up, kills all the evil Satanists. Aliens turn up and say, we've been waiting for mankind to have their consciousness expand enough to overthrow their evil oppressors. And now that they have, we're going to welcome them into the Galactic Federation and enter a new age of enlightenment. There you go. They've just fallen for Lucifer's nonsense. Okay. And then they'll give them all sorts of technologies and stuff to change them and transhumanize them and give them godlike powers. Ye shall be as gods type stuff. And that's basically the plot of, I don't know, any sci-fi movie that's been out in the past 10 years. Of some kind. Or if it's not that, it's a fake alien.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Invasion, where all mankind rallies together, drops their differences to fight against a false alien invasion. And then at the end of it, we're all living in a one world government with some kind of back engineer technology from the aliens or something. And then we all transhumanize ourselves and become like gods. So we also fall for the same lie from the Garden of Eden again. You will be as gods. That's the point of the whole thing, isn't it? And again, I just spitballed some random narratives, and I know it's fantastical, But this is how wild this is how wild some of their plans truly are. This is what they're actually talking about. This is what they actually want to happen, you know. And I think they'll always want that contingent of people who will always say that's ridiculous, that's wild, that's too much. But they want you to be shocked when it happens. They want you to be in denial when it happens, so you'll react out of fear rather than logic on the situation. I mean, I don't know if you get into the alien stuff much or the demon stuff much. Obviously, as a Christian, I'm sure you understand it's probably more aligned with it's all just fallen angels and the Nephilim spirits manifesting again. It's not really aliens.
Yep.
But do you have any information on that? Have you talked to anybody who's given you a bit of weird insight into these type of ideas?
We have the same connection with I had Gary Wayne on my podcast a year ago, so kind of in line with that, with the Nephilim, fallen angels and things like that. I don't believe in any outside entity like aliens coming from galaxies away. Obviously, I don't believe that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, going back to what you said as far as like the WHO and things like that. There are videos on YouTube from MIT talking about how nanoparticles can be controlled. So that is something, you know, you think about the juice and things like that. Is it something they can control and throw a switch? I don't know. But when you talk about the lies in the media and the truth in Hollywood, all these movies, they're put out for a reason. They aren't out there to just entertain us. They're also out there to program us. You look mm-hmm. at 1995 with Outbreak, 2012 with Contagion. Mm-hmm. And there was an episode of, I can't remember the show, the guy who was from Home Improvement. He had a TV show after that, and they were wearing masks on episode 33 or whatever. it is reinforcement. And when these things happen in the real world, it's to program your mind. So when it does happen, you don't question it as much because you remember that guy drinking out of the glass, handing it to the bartender, and she gave it to the dishwasher, and the next day they were all sick and mm-hmm. died. It is all psychological reinforcement through the television, through the media. There's a guy on YouTube, I can't think of his name right now, but he breaks down movies and how in so many movies through history, even the most silly Jackie Chan movies, mm-hmm. where there's an explosion that happens on the screen right in front of the Twin Towers from like 95, they tell you ahead of time what's going to happen. And once you kind of wake up, when you watch movies and old TV shows, you realize they are programming in you for events to come in the future. I think many of the events, obviously 9/11 was programmed back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. They knew when they started building it in 1968 that 33 years later in 2001, it was going to fall down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the predictive programming for 9/11 is one of the major waking up points for a lot of people. I remember the golden age of conspiracy, which was around 2012 to 2015. The amount of videos that were out just showing all of the symbolism and the predictive programming for these staged events throughout history was just everywhere. That you couldn't click on any video on YouTube without clicking on one of these videos showing you clearly this was a planned, orchestrated ritual. And since then, it sparked everyone's imagination to decode every other film since then. And the things that they have told us point blank in movies is ridiculous. Like, and it's kind of, it's like the magician's trick. Once you know how the trick works, it loses all its magic, you know.
Yep.
And that's a lot of what we do in this culture is we're trying to show people, just pay attention to the signs and the symbols, because that's the language they use. You know, and the predictive programming thing, it not only is it just simply, you know, to get people used to the idea before it happens, but they also always include a stupid, crazy conspiracy theorist character who just makes things worse because of his wild ideas and objections towards the script and the narrative of how to deal with the contagion, let's say, you know. And it's literally programming you to don't be that guy. Don't be the crazy conspiracy theorist who denies the point or thinks it's not real, because they always die a horrible, painful, disgusting, stupid death or something like that. You know what I mean? They always include the idiot Homer Simpson character who's clearly a dope and doesn't understand that the world's in serious danger and he just needs to keep in line. And they always include that silly, and that's the point of these movies. It's to tell you how to follow the script. So they've already scripted out how things will go down, and they want you to follow that script. So they tell you over and over again, and they're basically subtly telling you which character you need to be. You need to be the protagonist who does all the right things, doesn't question the narrative, you know. It's truly insidious to the level of of magic involved with these things. And it's also, I've got to the point now where I'm kind of over it as well. I mean, how long have you been in the game for? 10 years? Something like that? Yeah, I mean, by this point, it's kind of, I don't even watch anything anymore. And part of me wonders, like, if everybody just did that, how much power would these guys really have?
Very little.
I don't know, they'd have nothing, would they? Again, I think most of our problems have actually been caused by people watching television. I realize now that was the most powerful weapon used against us. And if I haven't paid my TV license in years because I don't watch television. Like, I don't watch it. And it might be different there in America, but we have to pay for the privilege of watching live television here. You know, having like a box that broadcasts media to your living room. But if you don't watch the BBC or live television, then you don't need a TV license. But they try and tell you you do. They'll try and make you believe that if you just simply having a TV in your living room means you have to have a license. And that's just not legally true, but that's what they tell you. They'll send you threatening letters saying you need to pay your bill. And legally, no, I do not. Like, I don't watch television. I don't watch the BBC, so I'm not paying anything to you at all and funding that corrupt corporation that hires pedophiles. No chance, you know, but a lot of people don't realize how much power they actually have. It's all kind of smoke and mirrors at the end of the day. But yeah.
It really is.
So go ahead. I spoke a bit. I'll let you go.
No. That was awesome. That you were spot on. Here in the States, you pay for your cable provider, basically, and I haven't had that in quite some time. But people will, you know, here in the States, American football is huge here. And on Sundays from September through January, people will skip church, not go to church over football. And that's pretty powerful, right? Mm. When you really think about it, that people think the sports is, and listen, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I get all that. But there are people who go to church, you know, February through August and will skip it when football season comes around. That says a lot about our society. And then most of the stuff on there today, it is just mindless stuff. And there's enough free stuff out there if you want to just unplug. We have a whole collection of Blu-rays and DVDs from 50s and 60s television. And even in watching that, you can start to see the paradigm shift in the 60s when they hijacked society. And I've often said that from 63 on, there's been very little organic in our world. Even look at the summer of love we had here in 2020. None of that was organic. That was all staged, whether or not the events were happened or not, which, you know, you can find 100 podcasts on the summer of 2020, starting with George Floyd. But at the end of the day, they take these things and they charge people emotionally and they get people stirred up. And we are our worst enemies. And we always focus, like we said, on ourselves, the right and the left paradigm. Instead of focusing on the real problem, which is the people at the top of the food chain who control things. If we could put our differences aside for just a little while, we could certainly change the world. And it would start with, like you said, unplug yourself from the television, pick up a book, spend time with your family, go outside and walk amongst nature. Even me, a couple days a week, I will completely unplug from anything conspiratorial and just go out and work on the chicken coops or read a book or, you know, we homeschool our daughter, those type of things, because there's a fine line between being cognizant of what's going on around you. But I've noticed over the years when you hit that wall where you almost become depressed when you go down these rabbit holes, because at the bottom of every rabbit hole that you'll find Satan, that he's at the bottom of almost every rabbit hole. So it can be dark, right? With many of the things we talk about. So as we have these discussions, right, we don't know whether we're going to drop the hammer today, tomorrow, or in 10 years. So it's good to be cognizant, but not to beat yourself up with it. But at the same time, you should be spiritually fit. You should be mentally fit and physically fit. And when things do go south, if you stay ready, you'll be ready. And it won't affect your family as much. Mm-hmm. But it's very much important to be aware of your surroundings.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's something you said there, you know, at the bottom of every rabbit hole, you'll find the problem, which is that Satan's in control. But I also believe you find the solution as well, is that you need to get to know Jesus.
Sure.
You know, it's,
yes, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, Satan's just pointing to, okay, all of this is happening because Jesus is real too. And there's a war against God in that respect. So there's hope at the bottom of each rabbit hole, but there's also a lot of depression and fear. And I agree. I have a series called Tips for Truthers, and I'm specifically giving people advice on how to deal with the information they've learned, because a lot of people don't know how to handle it. They don't realize it's incredibly powerful, like a sword. It's a weapon. And people don't necessarily like having swords or bullets thrown around in the face. So you've got to be careful about how you talk about these things, you know. And one of my key points is take breaks. Take a break. If you find yourself losing yourself to this, and you haven't grounded yourself by going to talk to normal people every now and then, or going outside and getting some fresh air, and you know, and you've kind of become a weird recluse because of all this stuff, it's time to take a break. It's time to detach and go and remember who you are, and go and do things you like to do, separate from all this crazy stuff, you know. And I think a lot of people do lose themselves, sadly, when they start discovering a lot of these truths. So I do kind of want to encourage people to say it's okay to take a break. You're not going to save the world, okay? You can take a break. You can have a day or two to yourself. There's other people who are working hard as well. Don't worry about it. Go and take a break. So I agree with you on that one. I thought it was a good sentiment for you to bring up. And the one thing you kept mentioning there is that you homeschool your children. Now, as a father myself, I have a toddler, and he's growing up fast, and we are not going to put him into the education system. We are not going to do that. We're going to homeschool. We've already started homeschooling him now, to be honest, basic numbers and letters and things like that, and colors and shapes. And he's only 28 months old, and he's mastered most of them. It's incredible how fast this kid's learning. He's like a sponge, and it's unbelievable. He can talk to us in ways I just could not imagine at such an early age. But do you have any advice on homeschooling? This is for me. I want to know, like, what have you learned so far? Do you just have any general advice to help somebody who's about to become a homeschooling parent, which I luckily can be because I am at home because my job is online doing this and other things. So do you have any advice about homeschooling?
The most important piece of advice is if you can do it, do it. I was scared to death. And I, because you hear all the stories, right? Sometimes you can't separate yourself. You hear, oh, the homeschool kids are weird, right? That's what you're taught growing up and everything else. But when we saw how crazy things got, how little they were learning, here in the nearest city, just 45 minutes away from me, Baltimore, Maryland, like the illiteracy rate is just astounding. And when you think about it, these children spend 13 years, 8 hours a day in school, and they come out and they can't read. One of our college basketball players here in the States, one of the better ones, he just got kicked off the team because he flunked passes. Turns out he didn't know he could read. I'm here to tell you folks, if you're here in the United States, at least, I know it varies from each state and it varies around the world. Homeschool. Part of the problem that we're seeing today, with the transgender push, and all this, you know, the me society and the anti-God push. By the way, if your children is in science in a public school, they're probably being taught evolution and the Big Bang Theory. And if you send your children to Sunday school and they're taught about God's creation story and the flood and these things, and then you send them off to school for, you know, the entire week, they're taught anti-God sentiment. So what are we doing? You're confusing your child. And they're taught in school. Those people back then, they didn't know what they're talking about. It's just a myth, right? You look on Wikipedia, it says the genitive flood narrative, which is an old Hebrew myth, which myth does have a dual meaning, but the second meaning of it is just an old fairy tale. So you have to be very careful, be cognizant of what your children are learning. It was the scariest thing I ever did, but now here we are 4 years later. It's the most rewarding and one of the most proudest things that I have ever done in my life was being able to control what goes into my child's mind. Now, with that being said, do I control everything that goes into her mind? Of course not, right? Because, you know, she's got a phone too. She has, you know, you can't protect your children 24/7, 365, what goes in there. At the same time, you don't want to be that overbearing parent that is completely protective and then you toss them out to society and they go crazy. There's no manual for being a parent. Every child is different, but you have to do what you feel is best. And I do not feel, when I look at this society today, this government today, how evil it is, the last thing I want is them programming my child's mind. I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago. Her child is in fourth grade, and there's 20 students, and I think four or five of them are transgendered. I mean, that's 20%. And here in the state of Delaware, where I live, the Children's Hospital, they have a very special wing for confused children. As early as 10 years old, they will put them on puberty blockers. As early as 12 years old, they will give your little girl, who is really a boy, a hysterectomy. This is the most evil thing. You know, it is right on parallel, if not worse, than what happened 4 years ago. And I've called my governor, my senators, my state reps ad nauseum. They know who I am. They loathe me because the one thing that we should stand up for, it's one thing if you're an adult and you want to put on a dress and a wig and put on lipstick and call yourself Sylvia, God help you. Go have a good time. But when you are mutilating a child's body at the age of 10 or 12, there's a special, I'm just going to say it, there's a special place in hell for you. I'm sorry. I pray for you and hope you change your ways, but that is evil. The Bible says about the millstone around your neck if you want to harm our little ones. And it really, that's the one subject that really gets me emotional and really bothers me, that the state I live in carries out these type of procedures. So when you see how evil the world is, and there's so many homeschool resources, we use Alpha and Omega. And listen, in the science section, there's some things, you know, that we may not agree with, but we also teach here, this is what the school teaches and this is what we believe. So you have the capabilities, to, you know, affect your child. We can have her sit down and watch my lunch break on YouTube, you know, for an hour a day. Then she goes out and works in the chicken coop. She goes out and works in the garden with her mother. How many people go out 13 years of school and know how to plan anything, or know how the seasons works with harvesting and chicken? It's just, they get taught minimal level scholarly things for 13 years. And for me, I remember being 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and being in a chair for 8 hours a day. It was torture. Mm-hmm. And just being able to incorporate education and gardening and raising chickens, on and on and on, those life skills that are going to pay dividends down the road. It is the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And I encourage everyone to please, if you have them, and I understand we're all in different stages in our life, and there's some people out there who might be a single parent working two jobs, and I completely get that. And, you know, but if you are capable, if you're in a small town, maybe you can, like here in Delaware, I'm able to teach 7 children if I wanted to. And I let people know, you know, your child's more welcome to come here. And it's important, come together as a community. If you're able to have, you know, grandma teach your daughter. It's the courses online are very easy to navigate, and there's lots of, there's just so many resources out there in this day and age when there's so much evil in the school system and they push this transgender and everything else on the children. It's just a dangerous time, and you have to be very aware of what is going into your children's mind and who's molding it. So I hope I answered that question.
No, that was fantastic. Thank you. I mean, the transgender issue of the kids is one of my main issues too. It's just as bad here in the UK. And I'm not letting these childless heathens get my child. Because that generally tends to what it is. The teachers who don't have children of their own are trying to take our children and mold them with their own ideologies. And there's no way I'm letting them do that to my children. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. And it's my biggest fear, to be honest, that my child could end up not trusting me because of the things they say, keeping it from me, that they then end up on drugs that are permanently altering them in ways that are not reversible. And then, you know, heaven forbid, they end up mutilating themselves because of the brainwashing. I'm just not going to allow that to happen. And the only surefire way of making sure that doesn't happen is to control that their education. I mean, I'm furious that I was never taught how mortgages work. you know, or how interest works. These are all things I had to discover myself while trying to buy a house, yeah. which fell through in the end anyway. You know, that's the story for another time. But I learned a lot through having to do things for the first time myself when it just comes to handling and dealing with money and how the world works and how money actually works, you know. And that's not what I was taught in high school. I was taught the how to figure out the hypotenuse of a triangle, or right. I don't know, just stupid things. I barely even remember today. I only ever do basic addition and multiplication and subtraction, to be honest. I don't really do all the complex algebra that was taught to me for no reason. And I was like you. I was initially, my wife is the one who says we're not putting him in schools, we're not doing it. And initially my programming kicked in, and I'll admit I was like, no, but he needs the socialization. He'll be weird if he doesn't go. And he's like, he'll miss out on major development stuff because he's not around other kids. He won't learn how to be around other people. And I was wrong to say those things in hindsight. I'm listening to myself now, you know, and my wife convinced me, Paul, you're being stupid. Like, our kid will be fine. We'll put them in like play groups and things like that. They'll get interactions from family members. They'll get interactions from other kids at the park and other ways. So other ways to get, you know, take them swimming every week and they'll make friends there. You know, they'll get socialized in other ways. But I was worried about it initially. I was like, you know, they have to go to school. But I'm shocked I even had that knee-jerk reaction initially. I really am, because obviously I've been a conspiracy theorist for like 10 years. So when, sure. And it's like, and I had to sit down and think to myself, why did I react like that? Yep. Like, why was it? What am I scared of exactly? I should be far more scared of what they're teaching children now in school than what they may miss out on not going to school. You know? And in terms of practicality, you know, once they're out in the working world, they'll never use anything they learned in high school anyway. And I'm not letting them waste their time on a degree. No chance. Because, you know, it's. I don't know. I agree with. I thank you for the advice. I agree with a lot of what you said there. And my fears are the same. And it's scary. It's scary because, again, it's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility. And it's nice to hear that you were scared too. I guess it makes me feel like a little bit less alone. So I appreciate that advice.
I was freaked out. I felt like I didn't know if I was failing my daughter or I was, you know, pulling her, because I had the same worry too. Well, she's got to be around other children, this, that, and the other thing. But looking back now, it was 110% the right decision, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's take a sharp right turn here. And I just want to get your opinion on the clown theory. What do you think?
that was very interesting. I'll tell you, I got some emails. It was people that had never considered it anymore, who had considered it before. It was very interesting. I need to go back and revisit it, because that hour, I think we were on for about an hour and 10 minutes, and it flew by. It was so much information. But and the one thing I was very thankful for was the education you gave me on the Shriners, because I knew there was a connection with the Shriners and secret societies. But you filled me in more than I ever had before. So that connection is certainly a big one. I'm on board with it. And by the way, speaking of the clowns and your YouTube channel, I'm pretty sure I saw a note on my feed this week that said you're up to 40,000 subscribers. So bravo. That's awesome, brother. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was shocked that I've reached 40,000 on the exact same day my channel reached its 10-year birthday.
Really?
I got a notification saying, happy birthday, 10 years ago you started the channel. And just below that message was, you just hit 40,000 subscribers. I was like, okay, that was an odd coincidence. But yeah, that's amazing. I'm blown away by the support that's come my way over the past year. That's only within a year as well. I was on about 10,000, maybe 7,000 when I came back. And that in a year, it's just snowballed. And it's through no small part of people like you inviting me on to share the story and share the information, you know. I'm writing the book still. That's well on its way. That should be hopefully published at the beginning of next year. I'm halfway through writing the thing now. I'm about two thirds through the book now, and it's turning into a 500 page doorstop. So I think I may have to do a bit of cutting back and editing. But Yeah, it's getting dark. I mean, you talk about the Shriners there. I've just written like 20 pages on the Royal Order of the Jesters, which is a level above the Shriners. And those people are messed up. They are
maniacs.
They are
Maniacs,
the sickening, the things those guys get up to and get away with using taxpayer money as well, and dodging paying tax all the while. You know, it's insane, and it's getting deeper and darker the more I write the book, to be honest. But I'm just wondering if you're seeing clowns everywhere now. I've pointed out. That's all I was wondering.
I do, and it's interesting. I'm glad things happened. I had Gary Wayne on first, and I read his book, The Genesis 6 Conspiracy, and then I had you on the Nephilim that look like clowns, and then it all kind of connected. And I do think about that quite a lot. If I see something on TV or I'm going through, watching old movies or something, I'll say, "Huh, I wonder if that's a nod to the Nephilim, that clown there." Like, the Stephen King movie, It. Every time I see the poster for that or something, I think, I wonder if that is a tip of the cap to the Nephilim, because certainly Stephen King, to be on the world stage as big as he is, he's certainly part of the club.
Oh, hands down. Yeah. I mean, I've not got to the point in my book where I'm exposing Stephen King specifically, but that guy definitely knew something. I mean, the way he describes Pennywise, it is just a copy paste of the biblical narrative, just with a interdimensional alien spin put on top of it, you know, like a bit of a lie mixed in with the truth. But it's literally an interdimensional demon who feeds on the fear of children.
100%.
And it's basically just describing the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, and they look like clowns, you know. So it's not it's I know what the theory sounds like, believe me, George, I really do, when I say the Nephilim look like clowns. But I think people, when they listen to it, realize I'm actually being deadly serious. Like, this is not actually a joke. And
Right.
you were talking earlier about how, you know, the controllers are just laughing at us now. That just everything's just a joke to these guys now, and they're just making fun of us constantly, you know.
Like a jester.
And they are in true clown world fashion right now.
Yes,
They are
exactly.
full on in jester mode. They are laughing at us manically with huge grins on their face, because we are just so lost as a people and so falling for everything that they're putting in our faces, you know. The spirit behind these people is manic. It's irreverent. It's anti-God through and through, and it's just a clown. Honestly, it's just clowns through and through.
Indeed.
But yeah, thanks for sharing your opinion on that. I just wonder if again, because people tell me, like, I'm just seeing clowns everywhere now, Paul. Thanks for ruining everything. And it's kind of I just wanted to get your take on it. But yeah, fair enough. I mean, we've been going for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was great.
I think that's probably a good place to leave this. But
Sure.
just to for maybe like 10 minutes or so, maybe 5 minutes. Do you have any like closing advice for people on how to deal with learning the truth? Maybe those people who've just woken up for the first time. Do you have any advice?
Keep an open mind. Don't make your decision off of one YouTube video or one book. And always keep an open mind. I'm 54. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I've changed my mind on things, on several things. Don't get into arguments about the smaller things. Like, if we all agree that 9/11 was an inside job, that should be the most important thing. Don't get so caught up in the plane, no plane theory. Sure, there's a place for everyone's opinion, but don't make it a point of contention, to where people walk away from the truth community, that my truth is better than your truth type of thing. I always take everyone's advice. I read it, and I form my own opinion. That's what Bill Cooper always said. Listen to everyone, even though I believe there's people on the world stage who are controlled. But that doesn't mean, like, I think Alex Jones is controlled, but I've never once said don't listen to Alex Jones, because one of the things they use him for is disclosure. So why would you not pay attention to him? I would never, never tell anyone not to listen to someone. Listen to everyone, and discern for yourself, what is the truth. I think the new trend on YouTube now is people who do videos on the people who do videos, right? This is Steve, and he thinks this, and he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. Friday, when I was out cutting down trees, there was a guy who did a reaction video to a reaction video. I think if, and again, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I would never do that. Everybody's entitled to do whatever. But if you're going to put out content, make it your opinion. bring people on. If you're going to bring on a guest, let them have a like Paul's been tremendous. Let people talk, and I'm sure there's maybe things I said that he doesn't agree with. But at the end of the day, the more people you listen to, the easier it is to come to a conclusion on certain things. There are some things we all have to deal with that we may be in our belief system that is a hard wall to knock over. I will just tell you this, be open to everything. If you still have any walls up to like, 9/11 was an inside job, I believe this, but not that, that's just ridiculous. But you haven't looked into it. That's my point. If there's something you haven't looked into and you've already made a decision on it, let your ego or your pride or whatever it is go down, look into it. And then, yeah, sure, if it turns out to be nonsense in your opinion, then you can declare it nonsense. But there are still those niche subjects out there that are worth a look, because sometimes even they can open up more rabbit holes and to bring together a belief as well. And the most important thing is to be kind with each other. You see every now and then YouTube channels and podcasts get destroyed because of people's pride. And the most important thing is to be, like I said earlier, be mentally and spiritually fit. I don't put my faith in man. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. And that's what happened. Pssalms, I think it's 118:8. Don't put your faith in man, put your faith in God. And when 2020 happened, we all turned to man. Not all of us, but you get where I'm coming from. And that's the most important thing. Be strong in your convictions. My wife didn't bow to the altar of Big Pharma. She lost her job because she refused to get the juice. And guess what? She got a better paying job because she stood tall in her convictions. And it's important if we want to make a difference in the world is to stand tall in our convictions, control our own realm. Don't let those folks at the top of the food chain control you, because there is it's being awake is beautiful. Like, my life is so much better now. My life was hollow before I really woke up, and actually waking up, this whole process isn't just 9/11 and these things. It was my faith. I became stronger with God and my faith in Jesus Christ, and it made me a better person. And it kind of readjusted my moral compass and understood that I'm at a point in my life where I need to start doing things to make sure that I have 5 children, I have 8 grandchildren, and I'm worried about them when I look at the world. So this is more of a mission than anything, to try to leave them a better world than we found it. And we've got a lot of work to do, but if we join together and, not to sound like a hippie or anything, but, share a lot of love and kindness, as we deliver the truth, I think that's a secret to, it's a recipe for success, if you will.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for that, George. If you could just hold on for a minute, I'd like to talk to you after the show, if that's all right as well. But guys, we're going to leave this now. Normally I go on for 2 hours, but I'm starting to think that might be a little bit too long. So we're going to cut this a little bit short, but thanks for listening, guys. Thanks to everybody in the chat. It looks like it's been a nice, chilled conversation today, a very fruitful conversation in the chat today, which I like to see. So thanks for everybody who's participated there. Just a quick announcement to my listeners. I have got my Rumble channel up and running now. If you just search Understanding Conspiracy on Rumble, you will find that I have started to upload my entire back catalogue of 300 videos onto there for good measure, because you never know with YouTube what could happen at any moment. So if you are on Rumble, please make sure to sign up to Rumble and follow me on there as well, because that's where you're going to catch me if everything goes belly up on this channel, because it's just a failsafe, okay? So go ahead, and I will be uploading whatever happens on YouTube will be uploaded on there as well afterwards also. And I'm still trying to figure out how to live stream and get all that set up too, so I can simultaneously live stream on both platforms. But I'm learning. But just an announcement, the channel is up and running on Rumble. So go ahead and subscribe to that if you're on there. But other than that, guys, thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.